Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. The hadith indicates three sins. The first one that the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam is adultery. In Islam, it is not permissible to kill another Muslim unless he performs or he falls in these three sins. First one, adulterer, who is married or was previously married or was widowed, whatever. Any person who got married at one point at his life, whether he's still married or divorced or widowed, this person, whether it's a he or a she, if committed adultery and this was proven either through confession or through four witnesses, the penalty for that would be stoning to death. This is an Islamic punishment. One would say stoning is a barbaric way of taking life, and this is unacceptable. We say to them, this is unacceptable to you, but us Muslims, this is in our religion. And if you compare our religion to your religion, you will find that stoning is there even in the Bible. However, Islam limits stoning to one sin, and that is a person who was married at one point in his life and commits adultery, meaning that he tasted Allah's favor and blessing upon him of having a wife, yet he goes to haram means. In the Bible, if you go to the Old Testament, you will find that stoning is mentioned in a number of sins. For example, shirk, whoever commits it is stoned. We have no problem with that. Whoever commits adultery in the Bible is stoned, married or unmarried. Whoever curses the king, and this is political, huh? He is also stoned to death. Whoever disobeys his parents, the elders of the village would take him to the borders of the village and stone him to death for just disobeying his parents. Even animals are not exempted. If a bull kills a person, the bull would be stoned to death. All of this is mentioned in the Bible. If a fortune teller says or claims to know the future, he's to be stoned to death. And this is not like Islam. Islam only limits it to that heinous sin that would mean mixing the lineages. It would mean mixing the relationship between families because of that major sin. Second is when a person kills a person. And this is why the hadith is mentioned in the chapter that deals with equality and punishment. So it is life for a life. And we've mentioned before that killing is divided into how many types? Three types: deliberate, semi-deliberate, and accidental. So when do we have this a soul for a soul, a life for a life? Only in the deliberate. The semi-deliberate, we do not allow or we do not execute the killer. A deliberate means of killing is when you shoot someone, when you throw someone with an arrow or a spear that penetrates and that kills. This usually kills. So this is deliberate killing. If you put poison in someone's food, if you drown someone, if you suffocate him, put him on fire, this usually kills. So this is deliberate killing. Semi-deliberate killing is when you throw someone with a small stone and he dies. Usually this doesn't kill. If you punch someone and he dies, this usually does not kill. If you, for example, frighten someone, you come from behind someone in the middle of the dark, say, boo! And they say, oh! He dies. This usually doesn't kill. So this is semi-deliberate. There is no execution, but he has to pay the blood money or what's known as the diya. And by mistake, we've talked about that before, is like when you're driving, an accident takes place and someone dies. This is neither deliberate nor semi. It's an accident and it has its ruling. The third type of sin is when someone commits an act of apostasy, or he leaves the religion, changes his religion, does something that goes out of the jama'at of the Muslims, as in the case of who disbelieves in the Quran or in something in the Sunnah that has no excuse for him to disbelieve in. Sorcerers are the same. If a sorcerer is caught, he's executed because he cannot be a sorcerer without worshipping jinn. In this case, the act of apostasy is punished by execution. And these are only to be taken or executed by the Muslim ruler, not for you and me. It is not for a community to decide that, okay, this person has committed the act of adultery, we will purify him and stone him if they're living somewhere that is governed by un-Islamic rules. No, this only can be done after prosecution, after a trial, after a panel of judges agree and approve of that. Then they go to the ruler, the Muslim ruler, who gives the green light to go on, or he declines, depending on his findings and his inquiries. So this is one of the most important things that people should adhere to. The following hadith, hadith number 338. We need someone to read it. Who's got, yes.
Abdullah ibn Masood reported, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, the first thing that will be judged among people on the day of judgment will pertain to bloodshed.
Now this again is related to the chapter of Qisas. Maybe you will not be punished for what you have done in this life, but Allah Azza wa Jal does not forget. So you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. And the Prophet here says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the first thing that would be judged between people would pertain to their bloodshed. And this hadith is related to things that are between the Muslims, between the people. But when it comes to individual deeds, what is the first thing that would be questioned and held accountable for in the Day of Judgment? Is prayer. So don't be confused. Prayer is between you and Allah. This is the first thing that you would be held accountable for. But between the rights and obligations between you and others, the first thing you would be held accountable for is bloodshed. Why did you hit that brother and made him bleed? Why did you kill that person? Why did you fight? So it highlights the issue that it is extremely dangerous, to the extent that one would rather be very careful when it comes to bloodshed, not like what we see today. You're driving the car, someone says something to you, he gives you a finger, you give him a fist, and then you stop the car and start fighting and hitting one another and thinking that he deserves it. You will be held accountable for that on the day of judgment, even if you beat him. And even if he beats you, you will be held accountable for this bloodshed on the day of judgment. We open the floor for Q&A if you have any questions. Yes, Akhi.
My question is regarding the earlier chapter regarding the suckling. My question is, if there's a boy, he's suckled by one or more mother, so all the foster brothers will be regarded as foster brothers.
Has he been suckled 5 known males or shared?
Shared. For
if
example.
Shared and they don't share the same husband, he is not related to any of them. See, I'll give you 2 scenarios. One, a boy suckles from family A 5 times or more, and also suckles from family B 5 times or more. Automatically, he has 2 mothers through suckling, and all those related to these women are related to him because he is considered to be the son of both. The second scenario is if a man has 2 wives, and one wife, both of them pregnant, and they are breastfeeding their children. One wife breastfed a child 3 times, and the other one fed the same child 2. In this case, the child becomes the son of the husband through suckling, but he does not have mothers in suckling because 3 is not enough for her, and 2 is not enough for her. But for the man, he became his son, and these women become his step mothers. All the children of the man are his brothers, and the girls are his sisters. Any more questions?
If a man kills someone in a state of intoxication, does he be accountable?
This is a question that scholars differed upon. If someone makes a sin while in the state of intoxication, would he be held accountable? We have 2 types of account, one in this dunya and one at the side of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you can cascade this to everything else. If someone divorces his wife while in the state of intoxications, does the divorce take place or not? If someone does this or that, scholars differed. And the most authentic opinion is that it does not take effect in the sense that divorce, freeing a slave, buying or selling does not take place of a person when he is intoxicated. But when it comes to killing, if a person kills another while intoxicated, he might not be sinful for killing. He's sinful for drinking, and he has to be punished for his doing. Because in this case, we can easily kill people and say, I was intoxicated, so you have no right to kill me a soul for a soul. No, if someone kills someone deliberately, whether intoxicated or not, he has to be punished for that. And what is the punishment? We will get to know, inshallah, this in coming programs. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.